Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with Frank Vandenhorst and Peter M. Fellows. And this week's segment, all about, it's the art of active listening. Peter, what are you going to share with us today?
Thank you, Rick. Good as always to be back again with you two gentlemen here on the Road Ahead Cafe. Great to be serving up wise facts and wise cracks for fun and learning for our supportive, loyal audience. I can't promise you much this week, folk. I never heard of active listening before. I mean, I might have heard about it, but I probably wasn't actively listening when they told me about it. And then Frank and Rick suggested it as a topic. So at first I thought, active listening, like, is that a brand of hearing aid that they use? Because, you know, they are older than me, these guys, old folks, you know, you can't beat them. You'd like to beat them, but you can't beat them, okay? It's not allowed. And if you agree that these guys are doing a wonderful job, do subscribe to the Road Ahead Cafe. So as my grandchildren tell me, when you don't know something about something, and I didn't know anything about active listening, you look it up. So I opened up my MacBook Air and jumped on DuckDuckGo, which is the browser that doesn't track your every moment and every movement. And what did I find? Well, what little I got, I'm going to share with you, my dear audience, and then keep listening as Frank and Rick explain what I missed, which is probably a whole lot. Back to you, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Good stuff. Frank, what about you? What do you got today?
As introduction, Peter, as always, you know, one of the most common complaints that I hear during counseling and coaching sessions is one partner saying to the other, "You never listen to me." Even in business meetings, I've heard people say that to each other. Well, then sooner or later, you run into trouble. For people, really listening is, to really listen to one another seems to be very difficult. Active listening is a way to deal with that phenomenon. But why is it so difficult? There might be several reasons for that. The first one is we haven't learned to listen consciously and actively, not at home and certainly not at school, I think. We don't know the benefits of it. And if we do, we might be quickly distracted on your phone, listening in your thoughts, etc. Or we are preoccupied with what we want to say. Our ego and emotions come into play. And the fourth item is, we don't care. It's me first. Stephen Covey, author of the famous book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, puts it nicely. He says, the biggest communication problem is we do not listen to understand, we listen to reply. And that's an interesting one. The ability to use active listening is essential for long-term happy relationships in any context. The attachment theory, among others, has helped us to understand that the most basic emotional needs of human beings include the need to be heard and the need to feel important to our partners, business partners, close relatives, and actually to anyone we want to connect with. That's why in the service industry, referral business is seen as so important. How many ambassadors do you have? Who promotes you? You want to be heard and you want to have the feeling that what you do really matters. I'll talk about it more in a few moments. Rick, over to you.
Sounds juicy, Frank. Thank you. So I just want to tell the audience, this is fair warning. You got to buckle up for this, because I'm going to tell you about the time I lost my voice. Can you imagine that? Yes, I know it's hard to imagine. And then I'm going to tell you about Ronnie, my voice coach, and how I found her. And then I'm going to talk about inactive, selective, active, and observational listening. Come back. Peter, you want to go a little deeper on this?
I don't know if I can, Rick, but I will try. So apparently, there's a special name for listening you do when you're not just pretending to listen. Active listening is what you do when you actually give a damn about what someone's trying to say. Now, normally, as you know, what other people are saying is far less important than what you have to say. So while they're talking, you can't spend much time listening to what they're trying to say because you need to be looking at how you can segue from whatever it is they're going on about to what you have to say, you know, so that you put on that face like you're listening, you smile, you go, oh yeah, And then while you're doing that, you strategize what you're going to say next. That'll demonstrate how brilliant, interesting, and witty you are. And you also need to be looking for a moment when the person comes up for air so that you can pounce to interject your astonishing point, which negates or eclipses everything they've said so far and allows you to sit back in full glorious victory. Or you might need to find the gap through which you can jump in and take control of the conversation so it's about something more interesting like yourself or your ideas. But there may be some times, even if you aren't a therapist being paid to listen to a person drone on and on, that you decide that understanding what someone is trying to communicate is more important than dazzling them with your wit and wisdom. When your spouse is talking, for example, and when I say that, you might think I mean when they say, we need to talk. And I do mean that, but I also mean you should be listening carefully, even when your significant other says, please put out the garbage. Because I've learned over the years, and I've got the battle scars to prove it, even when your spouse seems to be just asking you to put out the garbage, there's a lot more they're saying without words. Another example of when a person says they want to share something with you. This is different from the other form of sharing where we take turns. They don't really want to share. They don't want you to talk. They want to talk about themselves for the whole time. But the fact that they're saying it suggests this might be a good time to do active listening. So apparently, when I looked it up, active living is listening is like an art form. It's some sort of mental martial art you can practice, and it has all sorts of different tactics you can learn to use. Pretty sure you can get training in it, but not sure if there are matches pitting one active listener against the other one to see who listens best, which would kind of be boring. But anyway, here are some active listening tactics. Be like Sherlock Holmes. Listen to every detail of what they're saying, but also observe their body language. So you go beyond the actual words they speak and you try to understand what's being expressed beneath the words. Be like old Nanny, comforting, offering unconditional love, offer them a nice cup of tea and a biscuit, not like a biscuit and gravy biscuit, but a cookie type biscuit. Don't give feedback. Don't help them figure stuff out. And definitely don't try to solve their problem, even when the solution is really obvious to you. When the person pauses, wait to see if they're just pausing to take a breath or maybe need help to continue. This is not the time for you to interject an amusing anecdote of your own. And if they seem to be struggling to continue, you can help them by recapping what they just said, but perhaps with different words, perhaps adding, and then what happened? Doing this makes them feel you're hearing them, which is apparently completely different from just listening to them. You may also help them tell their sad tale of woe by asking, and how did that make you feel? Or can you tell me more about that bit? And don't interrupt too much. It's their story. And sometimes it may seem like the person's just droning on and on without getting to the point. Don't ask them to get to the point. There may be no point. Meet their gaze when they look at you and wait until after they've looked away before you look away. And even if you feel you can listen to them and watch TV at the same time, best not to do that. Turn it off and turn towards them. And once they finish sharing, resist the urge to try and make them feel better about their sad situation by telling them about an even worse situation that you went through. Save that story. I'm sure it was way worse than anything the person's going through, and you may think they'll feel better when they hear what happened to you, but apparently, no, they don't. And those tactics are just the beginning of what you need to master to become a master of the art of active listening. Not sure I'd remember it all. Pretty sure you'll kill sharing the moment if you ask the person to wait while you rummage through your desk looking for your notebook on these tactics. So what I do is always do when seeking the path towards the most fulfillment is mindful pathfinding. I step back from the noise in my head, the nattering of my inner voice predicting what a trial this is going to be. I ask my deeper non-conscious self, my pathfinder, where is my most fulfilling path forward here? And then I watch to see what comes up and what happens. I put aside any personal agenda I have with them, any need to coach or teach or give my personal opinion or to gain perspective and get points for self-worth, because what I'm going to do is let my pathfinder guide me in listening. And I choose to listen to this person mindfully, without judgment, without resistance, because I trust that I will get the guidance I need to do what is most fulfilling for both of us. Does this mean I'm like some super listener every time I'm up at bat? No. Sometimes the still invisible belief network of my inner voice filters or blocks my inner guidance. But you do the best you can, and sometimes you fall short of the mark. That's life in a nutshell. If you're curious about how mindful pathfinding can level up any situation, problem, goal, or conversation you're having, check me out at mindfulpathfinding.com. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter, man. You really had me cracking up, man. Good stuff. Really, really so witty. Frank, what do you have to share on this?
You know, there are a few things that that makes active listening very difficult and also very easy. One of the first things is neither judge nor condemn. This is very hard because we are still thinking, like what Peter says, all thoughts pop up and we have the inclination to solve it, to help out, etc. Don't do this. This is very hard. And we also ask to have an opinion. So who are you if you have no opinion? Look at social media, for examples. It's very difficult just to shut up for a moment. But there's a way out. To have an open heart and mind. That's the key in active listening. Before anything else, in any conversation you want to have, check your ego at the door. Because emotions pop up. You want to say something. You want to cut in line, for example. Active listening means that you become more vulnerable. Vulnerable, huh? Vulnerable? Me? Yes. Although it seems by many as weakness, it is a strength. We start to hear what other people are saying because we lower our guard. We opening up. We have to start to listen first. We move from having a discussion to have a dialogue. That's interesting. The roots of the word dialogue come from the Greek dia and the word logos. Dia means through, and logos translates in the word to the word or meaning. In essence, it means a dialogue is a flow of meaning. Well, that's something else than a discussion, which can easily turn out to a kind of verbal fight. So in active listening, you start to have a meaningful conversation, a dialogue. Well, now some suggestions to improve your conversations. Number one, listen without making any judgment or taking any position on any issue. Don't condemn the person speaking, although you might not agree what has been said or what's being said. This is an open mind and this is an open heart attitude. Number two, don't interrupt the speaker. Just shut up. Number three, let your body language speak, so to say. Make eye contact, lean forward, nod when appropriate, and smile. And if you do that, smile a genuine smile. Number four, repeat what you've heard to check for accuracy. If you understand, if I understand you correctly, you said, just follow what someone else is telling you. It makes you more convinced. It makes you more accepted by the other person. Ask questions as needed when you don't understand what the speaker is trying to communicate. Seek to understand instead of to be understood. Yeah. And last one, summarize to indicate that you have heard and understood what was said. As Stephen Covey says, seek to understand first, not to be understood. Rick, what about you?
Thank you, Frank. So, you know, really good points. I'm really vibing on what you guys are saying today. This is such a favorite topic of mine. So, as a sales professional, you know, one of the things I heard when I first got into training, going back 35 years now, is, you know, you got to listen. You got to listen to your customer. And then when I got married, you got to listen to your wife. And then when I had kids, you got to listen to your kids so they can feel heard. And, you know, all of this, a lot of listening stuff. And I was a talker. When I was a young kid, I would never shut up. My father would say, shut up. You know, I'd just keep talking, talking, talking. Got to the point where when I was a teenager, one day he said to me, he kind of in defeat just said, you know what, kid? Someday you're going to make a lot of money with that mouth. And I never forgot that. And then it's interesting because at that point, I finally, that's the first time I really heard him saying, you know, you talk too much. But he kind of affirmed that it could be a thing that I could use if I used it proportionately. So I want to just share there. I think there are four levels of listening. First one, inactive listening. That's when you're not there at all. Like Peter was quipping about when he first started today. Very funny. Selective listening. Hear what you want to hear. And, you know, that's kind of like where a lot of us live some of the time, especially like Frank said, when you're, you know, looking at your phone or whatever, picking out bits and pieces. Then there's the thing that, you know, you both talked about, active listening. That's when you're listening closely, trying to find that emotional meaning. And then there's a fourth one, what I call observational listening. And that's where you're active listening with the validation, seeking understanding, reflecting back, taking a more casual approach. Like in the spiritual world, we call that person the casual observer, where you're just being there for the person. And it's become my favorite type of listening because it's not a lot of heavy lifting. You can actually be present. It's almost like you're listening with your whole self as opposed to just your ears, which leads me into a terrific story about the time that I finally got a TEDx audition and I had to create my TED talk. So I was asked by the organizers, go make us a 2-minute video, you know, find a place to, you know, simulate what you're going to say in your talk and give us 2 minutes. So I'm working my way up to, I called the local high school, asked the band director who my kids had, hey, can I come up to the high school, you know, tomorrow night and just use the stage and just stand up there, set up a mic for me. I want to record 2 minutes on the stage. Like I'm looking out at the audience and you can film me and I can send this tape to the TEDx people. Yeah, sure. How about, you know, next Thursday, whatever. So working my way up to the TEDx audition, I lose my voice. One day I wake up and I got nothing. Now I will say that at that time in my life, I wasn't still a baseball coach, but I was a baseball father. So I was at the games and I was cheering and I was at the marching band events cheering. And I had more reasons than one to lose my voice, but one in particular, which I think may have been metaphysical. So I'm sitting in my den and I'm reading through a magazine and I have no voice. And I look down and I see an article on how our voice is more than just, you know, used to speak. And it's really our way of expressing ourselves. So right on the same page is a small ad for a voice coach. Her name is Ronnie Lederman. And so it says in there, you know, the spiritual reasons for your voice and, you know, using your voice not only for words and music and presentation, but what the true meaning of the throat chakra is and all this stuff. So I have Carol call her up because I can't speak. And she says, oh, yeah, send him in. So I go and I see Ronnie. And there I am trying to communicate through like this type of, you know, sound. Anyway, so she's examining, you know, she's a voice coach and an opera singer. So she understands the throat. So we had a few sessions. And in the third session, she says, I want to talk to you about the metaphysical aspect of what's going on with you right now. So she shows me a cutaway view of the head and the neck. And in particular, she shows me the tongue. And for those of you who don't know, this little piece is really about that big. It goes all the way down into the throat and into the back of the neck area. And the tongue is like a valve. And so basically, whenever we're ready to speak, just much like the hammer and trigger of a gun, when that thing is cocked, there's really nothing that can get between that tongue being ready to speak, including the ears. So when we load our tongue to speak, we actually, something mechanical happens in the neck and throat that shuts our ears off. So that's why when you're listening with the intent to respond, you can't really hear anymore. It's not only emotional, it's physical. So when we're loaded, trying to get our point across or think about what we want to say next, as Peter so eloquently and humorously put it today, when we're ready to speak, that tongue is going into a position that completely turns our ears off. So we can no longer listen. We can no longer hear. So now we're just thinking about what we're going to say and how we're going to say it, may get a piece here and there. So she taught me about that mechanical piece of listening. But then she also said, when we relax the tongue back into the throat and we just completely let go of all desire to respond, the ears not only open up, but the connection between the head and everything in it and the throat and the vocal cords and the heart begins to open up along with it. And so we can actually take in so much more. And that person feels that openness from us. So there really is so much more to this art of what I call observational listening than just what might meet the eye or ears. Peter, you want to wrap us up?
All right. Well, the art of active listening is something you can get deep training in. You can become a black belt. And if you're a professional therapist, maybe you should look to become a black belt in it. And if you're just a person who happens to be there by chance or choice, turn to your inner guidance, your innate wisdom and compassion. Do mindful pathfinding so that you can give your best to the person in need. At a deeper level, you always know what is needed. Trust in that. And if you want to win friends and influence people, then introduce them to the Road Ahead Cafe podcast. Think of our podcast as a self-help scavenger hunt. Keep tuning in, and eventually you will have everything you need to cruise down the road ahead. Back to you, Rick.
Beautiful, Peter. Frank, you have any closing comments?
Well, it's a pity that you missed your TEDx momentum. But anyway, TEDx speaker and communication expert Julian Treasure gives us in his presentation about listening, a very great presentation, you should listen to that, several suggestions on how to improve that. I will share you just one thing, which he is talking about in his also in his book. He says you can apply RASA, which stands for the R, receive, pay attention to the person. The A, appreciation. Make little noises like, oh, okay, you know, just that you give the person who is talking the idea that you really follow up what he or she is saying. Summarize, use the word so, which is a very important communication. And last, ask. Ask questions afterwards. And as always, two things to remember. One, in this perspective, what Rick says is very important. It has a deeper meaning, and maybe we will make a new podcast about that one, because your voice has immense healing power. Your voice, the words you're saying, can be so helpful to people and smoothing their feelings and so on, so that they have a healing power. And the second thing is what you think about and think about, you bring about. I wish you all a wonderful day. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Frank. Terrific, terrific comments. So my final thoughts on this, you know, Frank mentioned this in his piece, no judgment. If we just sit back and don't judge, because everything that somebody says, whether it's positive or negative, if we judge it, we're going down the wrong road. And then be the casual observer. Thank you for joining us today at the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. If you love us, make a 30-second selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together again with you next week. Until then, Savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.